Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, September 25th. Excuse me, 2018. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Today we're going to be talking about charts and Google Maps, nautical charts and Google Maps. I was thinking about how electronic everything is now on land and at sea, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about something that all of us probably use on our smartphones and how that translates into what happens on a ship or a boat when you're trying to get from one place to another on the water where there are no visible roads. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. In our marine weather forecast, we have on the Columbia River Bar in the main channel. Expect seas 2 to 4 feet through tomorrow, and the max ebb current times are going to be happening around 5:30 this morning, around 6 p.m. Tuesday, and around 6:15 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And seas then will be about 4 feet high. Let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have six inbounders. We have five in the Astoria anchorages, including Rice Island, and we have seven outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the G.H. Fortune. She's a bulk carrier arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll head upriver eventually to pick up wheat, but she'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage at about 6:30 a.m. We have a cruise ship in town today at the port of Astoria, arriving from San Francisco this morning. She's probably already there, maybe got there by about 7 a.m. The Grand Princess is in town. She is a big one. She's over about 1,000 feet long, just a hair under 1,000 feet. She was built in 1998. She was refurbished completely in December of 2016, and she has potential for 2,600 guests and about over 1,100 crew members, so a lot of people potentially in town today checking out Astoria. I'm glad it's sunny for them, so a beautiful day to be visiting our town. So this cruise ship is a huge one. She'll be towering over things at that end of town near the Cannery Pier Hotel next to the port as well. So if you get a chance and you're in town, go drive by and see what a really, really a big ship looks like. Next inbound is the Pentelis. She's arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be going upriver to pick up wheat eventually. She'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 8:30 this morning. The Scythia Grace is arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point. She's another wheat ship. We have a lot of ships coming in handling wheat this time of year. It's harvest time. So, and the Columbia River is a huge portal for exporting wheat. So she'll pass Astoria around 10 a.m. and glide into the Rice anchorage around a little glide into the Rice Island anchorage maybe around crossing the bar around 10, maybe getting to the Rice Island anchorage around 11:30. Takes about an hour and a half to get from the mouth of the river to here, an hour and a half, under good conditions. If you're on a really heavy ebb and bad weather, it can take much longer than that. But on a nice day like today, probably about an hour and a half. The Anglo Red is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Rice Island anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She'll probably get to the anchorage about 7:30 p.m. today. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Dublin Sea, will arrive from Anacortes. She's headed for Vancouver's Washington's anchorage. She's carrying refined petroleum. She probably will pass Astoria around 1 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. You might see her in Vancouver by about 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the Astoria anchorage, the Magnolia is headed for Kalama to pick up wheat at about 8:30 p.m. That would put her in Kalama about 5 hours later. The Medusa is awaiting orders along with the Graeca Universalis. And the Blumenau and the G.H. Fortune are also awaiting orders there. The Blumenau is up at the Rice Island anchorage. In our outbounders, the Nautical Runa is leaving Vancouver carrying, not sure exactly what's on board there, but she's leaving around 9 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 3 p.m. The articulated tug and barge Vision is leaving the shipyard at Swan Island in Portland. She could have been there for some kind of repairs or maintenance. Leaving around 10 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The Blue Akihabara is leaving. I think she's heading out of Klatskanai, which means she could have ethanol on board. Leaving around 11 a.m., passing Astoria outbound, maybe around 1:30 p.m. The Ninghai is leaving Longview. Soda ash on board there, leaving around noontime, passing Astoria outbound then at about 3:30. We have the Chloe Island heading out of Vancouver, maybe copper concentrate on board there, leaving around 2:30, so about 6 hours later past Astoria. The BBC Michigan is leaving Vancouver, could be kitty litter on the bentonite clay on board that vessel, leaving around 6 p.m. Bentonite clay is used for a lot of other things. As you know, if you know me, you know I like to say kitty litter on the air, because how often do you get to do that? So maybe 6 p.m., so maybe about 6 hours later, you'll see her pass Astoria outbound. The Iris Halo is leaving Kalama with wheat on board, so about 5 hours later, passing Astoria outbound. So she's heading out about 7:30 p.m. Out of Kalama. Well, I was thinking about, I always like to draw parallels between life on land and life at sea. And one of the things that I've noticed since a few years ago getting an iPhone is this amazing phenomenon of Google Maps. You can really be kind of an absolute person with no sense of direction whatsoever and find your way with Google Maps. You just put in your destination and it takes you there. So there is something similar available on vessels. And we rely on both things very heavily, perhaps too much, certainly in the case of ships and boats. People have said that relying on devices like Google Maps on board your vessel too much could put you in trouble. But there are, so on your phone, you go and you call up a destination, you put it in, and it gives you directions. There are things called chart plotters that use satellites similar to Google Maps, and you can get one for your recreational boat, as well as there are certainly big industrial commercial versions on ships that essentially show you an electronic chart, which is the word for a map on the water, and show you how to get from one place to another. Now, this used to be all paper, of course. We used to use paper maps on land and on sea, and on a lot of ships, they still use paper charts as a backup. So, these electronic things are very good when you don't know where you're going. If you know where your destination is, you can just go there. Like if you're familiar with the river and you're trying to get from one place to another, you just go there if you understand what the conditions are between here and there. But it's when you don't know how to get somewhere that these things can be really useful. So in the case of roads, I've certainly tried to find my way with Google Maps and had it take me astray a little bit. You know, one time I was in Seattle and it kept taking me around in a circle because it didn't understand that there was road construction happening. But on the water, you always need to be aware of the fact that you always need to be situationally aware that things may not be how you see them, because you are in a situation where you really have no roads. You're looking at a flat surface of the water. You have to be aware of depth. You have to be aware of obstructions. You have to look where you're going, and you have to calculate something that is very interesting. I've taken navigation classes and done calculations where I drew lines on charts for various reasons to get from one place to another. There's something called set and drift, which has to do with current and wind. And when you are calculating on a paper chart, you have to calculate for what course you actually need to steer to get from one place to another, which may actually be different. If the wind is pushing you and the current is pushing you, maybe you've seen ships crabbing along where they're pointing in a different direction from where they're actually headed, because they have to compensate for those things, those forces of wind and water, in order to get from one place to another. So navigating on the water, even electronically, can be a little more complicated. You can certainly see the value of electronics when you look at things like marinetraffic.com to see ships going from one place to another. But I've had a lot of mariners tell me that there's still no replacement for a paper chart and for just simply looking out the window. All those things together are what makes for the best and safest passages. But navigation is a fascinating topic that had much more than I could talk about today on the Ship Report. But thank you for listening to the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Have a great day.